Good morning. My name is Ken Phipps. I am a deacon here, and I have been charged with giving the announcements for this morning. So, if you have a bulletin, most of them are going to be right there. I'll just highlight a few of them. First one, the new members and inquirers class. There has been a change to that. Instead of meeting in the educational building, they will be meeting in the fellowship hall until further notice. So if you are part of that class, just know that next week you'll be in the fellowship hall, not in the education building. Every week we have an outdoor family ministry. It starts at 10 a.m., weather permitting. And even with weather, I think we have a contingency plan now in case there is bad weather. So that's a great option for you, especially if you have small ones, to be able to have kind of a Sunday school-esque time for them. There are two women's Bible study options here. You'll see them both in your bulletin if you're interested in those. They're right there. And there's also a ladies' luncheon, and that's going to be Friday, October 16th. And that will be a picnic version of it. It will be on the grounds. You bring your own food, bring a lawn chair, and come and have some sweet fellowship with sisters in Christ there. The last thing I'd like to just point out here is pastoral search committee request. If you have any recommendations for our future pastors, we're searching for our next pastor. If you have somebody in mind that you would like us to reach out to and kind of just put into the pool of applicants, if you would just look at that last one, it has an email that you can email their information there. Please make sure you silence any cell phones or technological devices, and thank you.
Good morning. Let me ask that you stand together with me as we are called to worship this morning. Words taken from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians in the 5th chapter. Paul writes, "Let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, wearing as our helmet the hope of our salvation. For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Christ died for us. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's begin our worship with hymn number 521. The words are in your bulletin. "My hope is built on nothing less."
Thank you.
us pray. Eternal God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we do come this day, it's your day, and we have come together as your people to worship you. We thank you that you are a good and gracious God, and that you have created us and all that exists. You have given us, and you still sustain our bodies, our souls, all of our human powers. You provide us with everything that we have need of in life. And we thank you especially this day for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we confess that he is true God, Son of the Father from eternity, and true man, born of the Virgin Mary, and that he is our Lord. At great cost, you, Lord Jesus, have saved us and redeemed us, lost and condemned people. You have set us free from sin, death, and the power of the devil, not with silver or gold, but with your holy and precious blood and innocent suffering and death. And so we do come this morning, and we sing, and we confess that you are that solid rock upon which we are building our lives. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, and we pray that you would bless us this day as a result of being in your presence. But we do pray that our worship would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, for we do bring it to you through the merits and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. All of the readings, the hymns are printed in your bulletin for you this morning. We have a confession of sin. We'll be using Psalm 130, simply a confession that is taken right out of Scripture, a psalm that enables us to confess the need that we have for God's grace, where we confess in God's presence that we wait for Him alone, and that He is a loving and gracious God, and that He is a God who forgives us because we are His people, and we come confessing our sins and doing so in union with our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd ask that we use this confession this morning to acknowledge our sin. You'll notice that it's a responsive reading. It's taken from Psalm 130 from the English Standard Version. If you'd respond with the italicized print. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. My soul waits for the Lord, more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. Let's pause for just a moment of silent confession of our sins. Father, with the psalmist, we do come and we cry to you and ask that you would hear our voice, that you would see and examine the thoughts that are in our minds and our hearts, and we ask that you would be attentive to the voice of our pleas for mercy. We recognize that apart from your forgiveness, there would be no hope for us. But you have set your love upon us from eternity past. You have chosen us to be your beloved children. You have worked in our minds and hearts and lives in so many different ways, bringing us to yourself, calling us through the gospel, enlightening us with your gifts, sanctifying and keeping us in the one true faith. And so we do come this morning in obedience to your word, but also in love, because you have promised to be so gracious to us. We come confessing our sins and asking that you would be merciful to us. Hear our prayers. We pray that you would forgive us, that you would forgive our brothers and sisters sitting around us. And we pray this through the merits of Jesus Christ. Amen. The eternal God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, desires not the death of sinners, but rather that they turn from their sin and that they live. For you who truly repent and believe in this holy gospel, may he now pardon and absolve you of all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, Amen. We also confess our faith. This morning there is one question and answer from the Westminster Shorter Catechism this morning, as Deacon Ken Phipps is going to come and pray for the congregation. This is one of the most familiar of the six petitions in the Lord's Prayer. It's asking God for those things that we have need of in life. And so I'll ask the question if you would respond with the answer as printed there. Question 104, what do we pray for in the fourth petition? Again, if you would come and pray that God would give us that competent portion of good things.
Just a couple of things before I pray. There'll be a portion where I pray for those who are afflicted and sick, and I will stop at the end of that and just have a moment of silence for you to pray for those who you know are sick. I know that if I try to list everyone who is suffering right now, that we might be here for quite a while. That being said, there are three people I'd like to just bring to your knowledge. Joanne Janis is suffering right now with very bad headaches and back pains, and just please keep her in your prayers for her afflictions right now. And also David and Gloria Ute, which is Dean Walter's brother-in-law and sister. Please just keep them in prayer. They have been diagnosed with COVID, so please keep them in your prayers also. And then I'm sure there are many others, and that's why we'll have that silent moment just to reflect there. The only other thing I would say is do remember, as I often try to remember myself when I'm there, of this is our congregational prayer, so it's not just me praying, but it is all of us lifting our prayers together unto our Heavenly Father. So let us pray. Almighty God, by your word you laid the foundations of the earth, set the bounds of the sea, and still the winds and wave. Surround us with your grace and peace, and preserve us through these uncertain times of coronavirus and just general unrest. By your Spirit, lift up those who have fallen, strengthen those who work to rescue and rebuild, and fill us with the hope of your new creation. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, whose blessed Son came not to be served, but to serve, we ask you to bless all those that, following in his footsteps, give themselves to the service of others. Give them wisdom, patience, and courage, that they may strengthen the weak, and being inspired by your love, may minister to the suffering, the friendless, the needy, for the sake of him who laid down his life for us, your Son, our Savior, Christ Jesus. O Father of mercies and God of all comfort, our only help in time of need, we humbly beseech you to behold, visit, and heal your sick servants for whom we pray. Look upon them with the eyes of mercy. Comfort them with your sense of goodness. Preserve them from the temptations of the enemy, and give them patience under their afflictions. In your good time, restore them to health. Heavenly Father, we remember before you those who suffer want and anxiety from the lack of work. Lord, guide the people of this land to use our great material wealth that we may find suitable and fulfilling employment for those who need it, Lord, and receive that they may receive a just reward for their labors. Lord, we know that you will give us our daily bread, and we trust in that promise, Lord. Almighty God, send down those on those who hold public office in federal, state, and local governments the spirit of wisdom, charity, and justice, that with steadfast purpose they may faithfully serve in the offices that they hold and they may promote the well-being of all people. Lord, protect your church from the idolatry politics can bring, and let us keep our eyes on you and not on men and their empty promises, Lord. Be with our nation, Lord, and with the unrest that politics has brought, Lord. Lord, just let us keep our eyes on you and show others that you are the only hope that any of us have. O God, almighty and merciful, you heal the broken and turn the sadness of sorrow into joy. Be with those that have experienced the pain of loss. Give them the mercy that only you can give. Lord, we ask you to be with our search committee as we look for the man that you would have lead this local congregation. Lord, give us wisdom, and let it be clear to us who the man that you would have us be our next pastor is, and Lord, bring him to us. Lord, bless our next pastor, whoever it is, with peace and assurance of your call to him that this is where he should be. Lord, we ask you to be with our many ministries. Lord, we thank you for the morning children's ministry. Lord, that we can still minister to the children of this church, and we thank you for those who lead that. Lord, we ask you to continue to bless that ministry, bless the children as they learn about you, Lord, and learn to worship you. Lord, we ask you to be with our missionaries around the world as they share your gospel. Lord, let many come to the knowledge of you, Lord, and the saving knowledge that is in your blood, Lord. Lord, we ask you also to be with the local ministries that we support, especially the Lowcountry Pregnancy Center, Lord. Continue to bless them. Be with them as they search for someone to be employed there, Lord. Just bring the right person for them, and just be with that ministry that it continues to bless those that are in need of it. Lord, most loving Father, we ask you to give us wisdom in all that we do. You will us to give thanks for all things, to dread nothing but the loss of you, and to cast all of our cares on the one who cares for us. Lord, preserve us from the faithless fears and worldly anxieties. Lord, grant that no clouds of this mortal life may hide from us the light that the love which is immortal in you is, and which you have manifest unto us in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Part of our worship each Lord's Day is to bring into God's presence his tithes and our offerings. Our offertory hymn is printed in your bulletin, Open Now Thy Gates of Beauty. I would simply point out that the last stanza, indeed the whole hymn, but particularly the last stanza, will be a prayer for illumination, that as we then study God's Word, that God would indeed speak to us, and we are able to sing. Our resolve is that we will hear what God has to say for us. We'll stand as we sing this hymn, and I would invite you to bring your offerings up to the offering plate here. There's a one at the back door as you leave today. There's also one upstairs, but for those seated here in the sanctuary, would invite you to come and bring your offerings this morning. But let's stand together as we sing, "Open Now Thy Gates of Beauty." Please be seated. Our study in God's Word this morning is from the book of Psalms, and it's two psalms, which may be one psalm, Psalm 42 and 43. Again, the text is printed for you in your bulletin, the English Standard Version. Psalm 42 and 43 should be read together as a single prayer that is offered up by some unknown believer who is struggling with his faith and with his emotions. Some Hebrew manuscripts print the two as one. Psalm 43 has no title, which is rather unusual for book two of the Psalms. Psalm 42 begins with the title, "To the Choir Master, a Maskil of the Sons of Korah." Psalm 44 has something similar there and on, but Psalm 43 has no title. And then there's this refrain about hope. that you hear three times when reading both of the Psalms together. So I want to look at them together as a single prayer by some believer who is struggling with his faith. Psalm 42 and 43. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon and from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day the Lord commands His steadfast love, and at night His song is with me. A prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people, from the deceitful and unjust man. Deliver me, for you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. The word of the Lord. Now, does any of this resonate with you? Is there something in these two psalms that you can identify with? The attitude, the feelings, the emotions, and the expressions of faith. Right from the start, we hear about a problem, and this morning I'm just going to go verse by verse through these two psalms and look at what our friend has said here. But right from the start, we hear about a problem. We could describe it as spiritual drought. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Now, something's happened to the person that's writing this psalm, and the problem is we don't know what. But something has obviously happened. Is he in exile? Far removed from the Holy Land and from the temple? Is he traveling far from home on business? Has he gone off to war? Is he sick? Is he ceremonially unclean and so he can't go to public worship? For some reason, he's separated from the house and the people of God, and he feels that God is missing from his life because he can't go and worship. God is missing, and he finds that this is simply too painful. And so he cries out in these two psalms to God. You know, some people can go from one day to the next and never give a thought about God. Religious people. Christians. Even if they pray, they can mouth the words of some dinner grace or a little prayer over lunch and never crosses their mind they're actually talking to a person. Sadly, even Christians can go on like this until they're forced to think about God when they come to church on Sunday. But for this believer, to know God and to live in God is as essential as drinking water. You can do without a lot of things, but you can't go without water. And he knows that, and he's feeling that. When God seems to be absent, there's just this sense of spiritual drought. And this drought now has him depressed. Verse 3, my tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Hot tears, not cool, living, flowing, fresh water. Tears, this has been his food day and night, and tears that are wrung out of him by his neighbors who are taunting him. Where's your God? You say that you believe in God. We hear it again in verse 10. As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? You know, you read through the Old Testament, you hear this accusation over and over. The pagans that live around God's people, you know, where's your God? Where is this invisible friend who supposedly lives in the sky and he's supposed to take care of you? And it's a malicious question. They're not interested in knowing where God is. They're doing it on purpose to push you over the edge, to undermine your faith and your confidence and your hope in God, to push you further into spiritual and emotional darkness. And all of this hurts. I mean, you feel it more because God does seem to be absent. He seems to be at some distance from me. Verse 4, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. He's remembering those wonderful times when he went to worship God and the people of God were together. And they would go through the various orders of worship, the ritual, and enjoy this time of worship. He's remembering that. And remembering that, he's saying, that's not how I feel today. I'm missing something. And for some reason, again, we don't know why, he can't go and be with God's people in worship. He's kept from participating in the rituals that give structure and meaning to life. And it's one of the things that takes place in public worship. You do certain things every Sunday. You confess your sins. You sing praise to God. You bring an offering into God's presence. You lift up your prayers to God. You hear the divine benediction being pronounced. Might recite the Apostles' Creed or the Lord's Prayer or some other confession, but there are these things that you have heard so many times, and it's a ritual that has meaning and it gives structure to your life. At this point, our friend stops and begins to talk to himself about what he knows is true. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Verse 5. Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. And yet, knowing that in his head doesn't seem to be helping. He's still down. He's still discouraged. Why are you cast down, my soul? Verse 5. Verse 6. My soul is cast down within me. Yes, I know that the answer is simply to turn to God and put my hope in Him. But I don't feel like it. Notice how much feelings of uncertainty contribute to our feeling down. You know, when we don't know what's going on, it tends to rob us of what little hope that we do have. We have no idea how to address the problem. We don't know what to think. We don't know what's going on. There's the question, when? Verse 2, when shall I come and appear before God? You know, how long is this going to go on? When is all this going to end? When am I going to feel better? There's the question, where? Verse 3, where is your God? Well, He's certainly not here where I can find Him. I feel alone. I feel abandoned by God. In my pain and grief and worry, it seems that He's nowhere to be found. Then there's the question, why, in verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why? Now, that can be a really dangerous question. Not always. Sometimes it's helpful to ask, why? Is this the way that it is? But often it simply sends us off looking for answers where no answers are to be found. You know, in God's secret providence. The secret things belong to God. Deuteronomy 29:29. It's only the things that are revealed that belong to us. Why is this happening to me? Why do I feel so alone? Why do I feel so dry? Spiritual drought, dryness, depression. God seems so distant. Now our friend changes the imagery. He changes the picture. He's trying to describe how he feels. Now he puts it in terms of drowning in the depths. And again, it's a metaphor that occurs throughout the Bible. We heard it this morning in Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you. In that psalm, the psalmist is thinking of being oppressed by his own sin, and he feels like he's in the depths and he's drowning, kind of like Jonah in the water, trying to get his head above the waves. Our friend here, he's overwhelmed. Verse 7, deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. He's drowning in his misery and his sense of hopelessness. And yet all is not lost. He knows enough that he should be praying. Verse 8, by day the Lord commands His steadfast love, and at night His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. And this is what he prays, verse 9. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Abandonment. Why have you forgotten me? Oppression. Why are so many of my neighbors, people in my world, why do they hate me? Why do they hate my biblical values? Why do they hate so much what seems to be obvious and true about God? Shame and ridicule. Where is your God? You say your God is your help in ages past. You know, where is He today? Why isn't God helping you? Once again, we hear Him ask that question, why? Verse 11. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? 10 times in 16 verses, he asks the question, why? over and over, led down those dark alleyways, trying to find an answer, trying to find out what has gone wrong in my life, what has gone wrong in my world. Why am I feeling this way? And once again, he gives us the solution, hope in God. For I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. But again, you don't get the sense that this is really helping him. He's still down. He knows the answer in his head. He knows what the Bible says. But he's not yet been delivered out of the depths that he's fallen into. Do you know anything at all about anything that the psalmist is talking about? Have you ever been down there in the depths? Maybe you're there this morning. Things began to change. With Psalm 43, we come a bit closer to the solution. You know, for the most part, if you go back and you read Psalm 42, the psalmist is talking about God. And it's not until he gets to Psalm 43 that you begin to hear him talking to God. And I think that's going to be part of the solution. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people from the deceitful and unjust man. Deliver me. Friends, never give up praying. It's a real temptation, isn't it? I mean, I feel it. Why pray? I didn't get what I wanted last time. You know. Why do I keep doing this? Why do I keep going through the motions? Why do I get up every day and pray? It doesn't seem to be doing any good. I mean, continue to feel down, just like the psalmist in Psalm 42. You pray and nothing happens. Why do it? Do it anyway. I mean, that's what the psalmist is doing. Sometimes his prayers are just those complaints, those laments. This is what's going on. This is how I feel. You know, discouraged, overwhelmed, all alone. Well, if God seems to be gone from your life, go after him. James chapter 4, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Never give up praying. And then as you pray, hold on to your faith. Tell God what you believe and tell him that you do believe. Verse 2, you are the God in whom I have taken refuge. He's reaffirming what he knows to be true. Even if it doesn't always feel it, he knows it to be true, and he says it again in prayer to God. And then ask God to turn on all the lights so that you can find your way back into his joyful presence. Verse 3. Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. You know, you're going through a particularly bad season in life. It's a dry period. Everything's dark. You feel down. You feel lost. You want to be with God's people and you want to be in God's house. You know that that is where God causes his refreshing grace to flow freely in his presence in worship. Word, sacraments, prayer, fellowship, friendships, singing praises. But sometimes, like our friend here, you can't do that. You can't come. That's not a problem for God, is it? God can come to you. Now, that's not an excuse not to come, but here, if you're in a situation where you can't, be in worship with God's people. There's great comfort in knowing that that's not a problem for God. Send out your light and your truth from your dwelling place, and let them, your light and your truth, lead me back to you. Pray for God's light. I need your light so that I can see you in my life again. God's in your life. Problem is, you just can't see it. There is some cloud that's covering the face of your Father in heaven, but he's there. Pray for God's light. Pray for God's truth. I need to know for sure that this is the way back into your joyful presence. Even when I'm kept from gathering with others for worship, I still have your word to guide me. The unfolding of your word gives light. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. And then cultivate an attitude of worship wherever you are, whenever it may be. Verse 4, then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre, God, O God, my God. Ideally, the way will open up so that you can join with other believers in the worship of God. But even if it doesn't happen, you still have access to this altar where God is found. Psalm 51, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Public worship together with others is an important aspect of your spiritual health. But sometimes it can't happen. You might get deployed. Public health crisis. There might be a hurricane. You can't get to where other believers are. Being homebound due to age or illness. Traveling. You ever been traveling and you can find no place to worship? I mean, there's no place where I can expect biblical worship to be. And yet you can't let any of that stop you from worshiping the one true living God. You still worship God whenever you can worship him and wherever you may find yourself. In prayer, fixing your faith upon God in Christ, the Word of God, dwelling richly within you, glorify God and enjoy him when and where you find him. Now, finally, our friend comes to the resting place that he's been longing for. Verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Nothing new. The words are exactly the same as we have heard it twice before in Psalm 42, verses 5 and 11. The notes being played are exactly the same notes, only now the key has been changed, which cast a whole new color to the song that's being sung. There's a different attitude with these words when you come to the end of Psalm 43. The same truth that was in his head all through Psalm 42 is still in his head, but now there's so much more clarity. This is much more personal. It's much more lodged, as it were, in his heart rather than just in his head. I know the answer, hope in God. Now there seems to be something that he's really laying hold of. All of this expressed by the prayer that he has addressed to God through Psalm 43. I think that he's embracing the beatitude that we studied last Sunday, James chapter 1, verse 12. The psalmist has pushed through all of the pain and all of the darkness that he finds himself, and he finds himself still standing. He's still holding on to God. He's embracing now this beatitude. Blessed is the man or woman who remains steadfast under trial. That is the one who has gone through that period of spiritual darkness. The one who has gone down into the depths. The one who has struggled with the disappointments of life. Crying out, where is God? When is all of this going to end? This person has pushed through all of that. His faith has been tested. Blessed is this believer who has stood the test of his faith and will now receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. What C.S. Lewis once said about faith applies to hope. Lewis said, it is the art of holding on to things your reason has once accepted in spite of your changing moods. It's an art. It's a science and it's an art. There's science, there's certain things that you can do and you can predict what will happen if you do these kind of things. But it is an art. It is taking the truth of God and applying it to your situation. In that sense, you can't just tell somebody, do these three easy steps and you'll be feeling better by the end of the day. It's an art. The art of holding on to things your reason has once accepted. You bought into the gospel. In spite of your changing moods and circumstances. Friends, remain steadfast in hope, come what may. Pray and keep on praying. Draw near to God. Keep your faith centered on God as He's revealed Himself to you in Jesus Christ. Pray for God's light to guide you and then walk in that light as God shows you the truths of His Word. Hope in God. Let's pray. Father, every Sunday there's that sense of easier said than done. And yet I thank you for that sense because it continually throws us back on your sovereign sustaining grace. Help us always to be dependent upon you, to always pray, to always direct our faith toward you, to always hold on to you in hope. Father, we pray that you would use your word. Help us to review this psalm and to walk back through verse by verse and to pray over each verse and to sense what it is that resonates between this believer that we've listened to this morning and us. Help us to understand and to be honest about the genuine feelings that are within our minds and hearts. Help us to follow through and to find the answer as He found it. That there is forgiveness with you, there is hope, there is a path of life, there are pleasures forevermore waiting for those that love you. And so this week, use this service, word, sacrament, and prayer to increase the hope that we have within, that you are and always will be a good and gracious Father in heaven to us. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
This morning we have an opportunity to learn the Lord's Supper. Words of institution are found in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 11. Paul is writing this letter to believers and answering questions and talking about things that they were concerned about and bothered about. And one of the issues that concerned them was Lord's Supper. There seems to have been a problem going on with the following instructions I am not commending, because when you come together, it's not for the better, but for the worse. And so we go through and talks about what the problem was. But in the midst of that, he gives us the instructions for being used by the early church as they observe the commandments of the Lord. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Our only hope is in the Lord's death. Jesus Christ died for us. Died to take away the wrath that rightfully comes upon us, to bring us to God, to bring about that status of no condemnation, being fully justified, we're not clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And so we come proclaiming his death through observing the sacrament. We would invite any who are believers in Christ to come to this table. Those who have faith in Christ, believing in Christ, who are desirous of growing in grace, we ask them to be a member of an evangelical church. It doesn't have to be this church or a church in this denomination, but some body of believers where you are accountable and where the gospel of grace is being preached, we would invite you to come. What we're going to do this morning, as we've been doing for a number of weeks, the deacon will come and will bring row by row up to the table. He would take the bread and the cup, the turn to receive and participate together. One elder will come upstairs to the balcony and serve those of you who are there. Anyone in the fellowship hall would like to participate with us, you can come over now at this time. The bread is all gluten-free, it's a little package. We observe the Lord's Supper with grape juice and with wine. Grape juice is found in the 1 hour ring. Everything else is wine that is there. I think that's everything. Let's pray and ask the Lord to set aside these elements. They would indeed be that powerful means of grace in our lives. Father, we come with gratitude. We thank you and we praise you for your good and gracious gifts. We thank you that you are that Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting of shadow, that every good gift comes down from you. And as a wonderful example of a good gift, you have brought us forth through the word of truth. You have given us new life. You have caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And Father, we come now as the people of faith, and our hope is in you. And we come wanting to be nourished and to be fed. We recognize that these elements are just regular elements, but yet they are infused with power because of the word of Christ, who said, "This is my body, and this cup is my blood of the covenant." And so we ask that you would set aside these elements from their ordinary use, that you would use them in such a wonderful and powerful way in assuring us of your love for us. Cause us to grow in grace. We pray this in Christ's name. We can bring it to us on fire.
tonight in which you must betray Jesus to bread. I give thanks as you have done in his name. So this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
Be with you. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you put your trust in Him, that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Peace.